Roger Von Oak wrote about two men who had an argument. They could not settle it between themselves, so to settle the matter, they went to a judge for arbitration. The plaintiff made his case. He was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning. When he finished, the judge nodded in approval and said, "That's right. That's right." On hearing this, the defendant jumped up and said, "Wait a second, Judge. You haven't even heard my side of this case." And so he began to speak his side of the case with eloquence and persuasive speech. And when he was done, the judge looked at the defendant and said, "That's right. That's right." To which the clerk of the court stood up and said, "Judge, they both can't be right." And the judge turned to him and said, "That's right. That's right." This is to illustrate that truth is obviously not based and not found just because someone is eloquent or a group of people have persuasive arguments about something of their opinion or their soapbox. In Bits and Pieces, one can read about Abraham Lincoln, who once had a very stubborn disputer. And Abraham Lincoln kind of got to a point he just couldn't take it anymore. And so he turned to the man and he said, "How many legs has a cow?" And his opponent said, "Four, of course." And Abraham Lincoln said, "Well, what if we decided to call the cow's tail a leg? Then how many legs has a cow?" And his disputer said, "Five, of course." To which Abraham Lincoln said, "With that statement, you are very wrong. Because no matter if you call the cow's tail a leg or not, it still only has four legs." But our world is riddled with the persuasive and eloquent words of science and philosophy. They want to call all kinds of things that aren't true, true. And they try to claim truth in the absence of God and His Word. But just because they are declaring it does not make it true. There is absolute truth. There is absolute truth, and it's worth standing firm on it because it is backed by the Creator of the universe, Almighty Father God, and it is found in completion in His Word, which we call the Bible. Over the next several weeks, we'll be discovering truths as revealed by God's Word about truth and grace. I've entitled this series, Grace-Filled Truth. Will you bow with me in prayer? Holy God, I thank you for allowing us to be here today to lift your name up in worship through our songs, through prayer, through fellowship with each other, through our giving. God, we want you to be glorified and honored because you and you alone are worthy of our praise. I pray now that you will open our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit to hear your truth, not by my words, but Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, in the passage we're about to read, we'll begin to understand that Jesus in the person of Jesus is actually God's Word. Meaning that Jesus is the personification of the Bible we hold in our hands. And in it we have, therefore, the embodiment of who Jesus is. Jesus, during his time on earth, tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. So when we read the Old and New Testament, this is from Genesis, the very first verse, first chapter, to Revelation, the very last verse, last chapter, we are hearing the heart of Jesus, every word. With this thought in mind, I'll ask that you follow as I read John chapter 1. I'll be reading verse 14 and then verses 16 to 17. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed His glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from His fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If we want to understand and know Jesus, then we must have an understanding of grace and truth. Because our world is torpedoing truth at every turn, we're going to be starting this series of grace-filled truth by answering the question, what is truth? St. Augustine said, when regard for truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things will remain doubtful. We are seeing that so much in our world today. Truth is being broken down. It has been weakened with things like relativism. My truth is all the truth I need, even if your truth is different. There is no absolutes. There are no absolutes. Well, the thing is truth then has been weakened. It's been broken down in our world. This is especially vital to understand when we realize that God's Word is truth. And as we just read from the Gospel of John, Jesus is God's Word. Therefore, Jesus is truth. We weaken truth, we disregard truth, then truly we are disregarding God, His Word, which is Jesus, therefore we are disregarding truth. John chapter 17, verses 14 to 19, where Jesus prayed to God the Father on behalf of His followers, saying this, I have given, those who believe, your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus had a complete desire for truth. Actual and absolute truth as being the reality of God and His holiness. Therefore, Jesus desired that all true believers should be purified by truth. Well, if Jesus is the Word and the Word is truth and Jesus is truth, the only way we are purified is by Jesus. Scripture teaches this. That was not just some philosophical maze I just went through. We know that Jesus is our purification before Almighty God. And we'll come to that in just a moment. You see, this truth, as already seen from John chapter 17 and John chapter 1, is the Word of God. Therefore, Jesus is our covering of holiness before Almighty God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus told Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to God or is made right before God except through me." Jesus is the only exclusive access to God. There are not many ways to God. There is not separate, zealous paths of devoutness leading to the same God, or any kind of right standing before the only God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Allah is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Buddha is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The statues and idols and philosophies of the world are not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's only one God, one true God, Creator God, God the Father, who we find here in our Scriptures. If it was any different than what Jesus stated by saying that He was the truth and the only way to God, then Jesus would be a liar. And everything else about Jesus would be completely invalid. Don't try to tell me that He's a good man or that He's a prophet if He lied. I don't know about you, but one thing I can't stand in myself and I can't stand in others is lying. I'm not saying I've never lied. I have. And I've been remorseful for it. And I've been lied to. And I didn't like it. So if Jesus is not who He said He was, don't try to tell me He's good. Don't try to tell me He's some kind of prophet or somebody I should follow anything that He did or said. But if He is true, and if He did tell the truth, then why wouldn't I follow Him and give my all for Him? Not only is Jesus not a liar, but Almighty Creator God is not a liar. He cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to build up the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in hope of eternal life that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." The truth leads to eternal life. God told us this, and God doesn't lie. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. "After Jesus was baptized, He went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on Him. And there came a voice from heaven, 'This is My beloved Son. I take delight in Him.'" If God is not a liar, then Jesus is who He said He is, because God claimed Him as His Son, His only beloved Son. God claimed Him. And so therefore, God is not a liar, but Jesus is not a liar. Jesus is the Word, God's Word, Old and New Testament. Therefore, our Bible is truth, as Jesus is truth. The adversary Satan, however, is a liar. And he is the father of all lies. And he wants to destroy the truth and any of its allies. Furthermore, The great enemy is the prince of this world, and he uses the people of this world at every turn to distort the truth. John chapter 8, verses 42 to 45, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, because I came from God and I'm here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me." You don't understand what I say, because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Pretty strong words. And then we read by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. "Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found at peace with Jesus, who is without spot or blemish. Also, regard the patience of our Lord as an opportunity for salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul has written to you according to the wisdom given to him, he speaks about these things in all his letters, in which there are some matters that are hard to understand. The untaught and unstable twist them to their own destruction, as they also do with the rest of the scriptures." And then if we were to turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 30, it tells us, "And men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them." Brothers and sisters, Scripture is very, very clear, not just in these two passages, but throughout Scripture, that the world run by the prince of this world, Satan, the father of lies, will do all they can to twist and spin God's word, to justify their own philosophies, to justify their own instable or unstable thoughts and deviant ways of life. We're warned that even people within the church, within church bodies, will take and use God's word to distort doctrine and good theology to lead true believers away from God and his truth. But truth can be known. And there is absolute truth, and it's revealed and understood by those willing to accept the truth giver, Jesus. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Isn't that great? That's for us. Those of us who say, understand, through Jesus, we've called upon Jesus as Lord and commander of our life, and relying completely and solely on him for our eternity, believing that he is bodily alive and sitting at the right hand of God. For those of us, then we can fully know and understand truth through God's word, and it will set us free. It'll give us freedom. And those of us who are true believers have the responsibility then to know and keep the truth safe and to keep it pure. This means we must know God's word of truth, which is revealed in the Bible. It's not revealed in science. It's not revealed in philosophy. It's not revealed in culture, and it's certainly not revealed in politics. It's revealed in the Bible. Psalm chapter 119, verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and all your righteous judgments endure forever. And Peter again in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 to 18 said, therefore, dear friends, since you know in advance that people will twist the truth of Scripture, be on your guard, so that you are not led away by the error of lawless people and fall from your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Remember, God is holy. And He will only accept the worship of those who come to Him on His terms. If we try to come to Him with our cultural biases, our scientific reasoning, our philosophical studies, or popular opinion, then we're coming on our terms and not His. But Jesus made it very clear that those who worship God in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, Jesus said this, but an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The bottom line is summed up in the words of a writer for Focus on the Family, Lindy Keffer. This is what was said. Truth is powerful. It brings life. It's been here since the beginning, and it still exists today. Truth is available to all who seek it in the person of Jesus Christ. Even though our society tells us that it's narrow-minded to believe in ultimate truth, there's lots of evidence that says we should run after it with all our hearts. Christ says the truth will set us free, and that promise is true for all time. Today was not meant to be a lengthy sermon, but hopefully a poignant one. It is one to hopefully set the stage for things to come. Next week, our choir has prepared a beautiful patriotic cantata. I hope that you'll come. Invite your friends. In the weeks after that, we are going to continue enjoying discovering God's truth and God's grace, and how the two mesh together to make something so beautiful in our lives, for our lives, and for others who our lives touch. So today, I hope that you'll take the extra time when you're with your people you eat lunch with and talk through the afternoon. I hope that you'll talk about truth. That there is something called absolute truth. We can hang our hat on something without floundering, and it is something worthy of standing firm upon. And that truth is Jesus and His Word. So my challenge to you is this. Throughout this week, I hope that you will, on your own, study what Scripture says about truth. Study what Scripture stands on. You don't have to understand it all. You just have to believe. I remember Tommy had mentioned Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley wrote a book, something about creation versus evolution. At the very end of the book, he said this, at the end of the day, it's about belief. Are you going to believe God or or are you going to believe man? Well, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe God from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to the end of Revelation. So the challenge is, again, study up on truth. As Tommy had mentioned about having a quiet time, I'm going to challenge you. If you don't right now have a daily quiet time, we have these sitting at this entrance or exit, however we're looking at it, and this one here. Grab one of these. They're free. Our Daily Bread and Zora Baptist Church supply this together to you. And we want you to take it. And it has a daily devotional. They're short. They can be a little longer. They have passages that you can look up and study a little more if you'd like. Or you can just take the shortness of this, of each day. It's just one little page, and this is large print. You probably can read it from here. Bob, you can grab that, can't you? From over there. So, and they have great little stories that go along with the biblical truth. This is a great way to start. I ask, too, that you will prayerfully commit yourselves then, because it's not just about personal study, but coming with other believers in Christ. And we have great Sunday school teachers, every one of them. And I hope that you'll come and join us for Sunday school. You don't even have to get up, well, it's about an hour early. Just get up an hour early on Sunday. You're still sleeping in for most of you. And come on to Sunday school and learn more about God's truth. If you're able on Wednesday mornings, 10 o'clock, if you're able to be here in the annex over here, join us for Bible study. And we're hoping to have some more coming up in the fall. God's truth. Do you know it? Do you live it? Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you that we have something to stand on. We have truth. May we fully understand from today that your truth is found in your word. And your word is Jesus. From the Old to the New Testament, the heart of Jesus is known through your word. May we understand then that Jesus is truth. There is no lie in him, as you, Almighty God, cannot lie. And your Son said that he did not consider it in any way robbery to be equal with you. Therefore, he is equal with you in truth, and he is the personification of truth. Culture wants to tell us all kinds of things that are not truth. May we not kowtow to culture, but may we say, God, your ways, even if it's hard, difficult, even if we don't understand it, may we say, God, you will rule and win in my life, and your truth is going to be truth indeed, and your truth sets us free. I pray these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus, our rock. In your name we pray. Amen.